Chapter 12. The ECO heavy cruiser repeat offender drifted and waited at the rendezvous site, alert but with weapons and targeting systems offline. Weapons being deactivated was a hard requirement of the people the ECO crew was waiting for. Not that any weapon aboard the cruiser could do significant harm to their guests. Maybe guests was not the right word, for nobody wanted a visit from the Maxalks. Business partners was a better description. Temporary business partners, for a limited time and scope of mutual interest. After the deal was done, Utavio Skorandum hoped to never see the Maxalks again. After the deal was done, it would probably not be healthy for him to meet the Maxalks again. He did not have any experience in joint operations with the senior species who ruled the enemy coalition, but he did know a thing or two about clandestine ops. One rule that was nearly universal across all species was simple. Don't leave any witnesses. Even if the deal went according to plan, Utavio would have to lay low for a while. Especially if the deal went according to plan. He sat in his office with a bottle of Bergoge in a drawer that he was ignoring, though the annoying drink me sound of the bottle was growing hard to ignore. The real problem was that he was bored. Bored in advance of the most important operation of his career. Perhaps the most important op in the long and storied history of the Ethics and Compliance Office. How could he possibly be bored? It was simple, because absolutely nothing was happening. All he could do was wait for the Maxalks to arrive. Unless they were already there, there wasn't any way for him to know. The repeat offender's sensor field was switched off, and no active sensor pulses were allowed. Carefully tuned passive sensors might have intermittently detected extremely faint special anomalies in the area. The sensor technicians and the ship's AI could not be sure they had detected anything at all. They only got intermittent readings because they knew what to look for, and Skorandum wondered whether the faint sensor readings that showed up were a figment of the sensor computer's imagination. Like the crew, the ship's AI wanted to see something out there. Maybe wanted it enough to cloud its judgment. It didn't matter. There was nothing the repeat offender could do if it was surrounded by unseen objects. The AI had to wait. And if Skorandum was suffering from boredom, he couldn't imagine how the AI was dealing with it. In truth, none of them had to wait long. Half a day from jumping into the rendezvous point, 27 Maxalt ships suddenly dropped stealth, revealing they had the single Jarap the ship surrounded. The enemy had no restriction against having weapons systems active. As soon as the photons could cross the short distance, the repeat offender's hull was painted by targeting sensors from 8 warships. "We are not impressed," Skorandum muttered to himself on the heavy cruiser's bridge. His eyes took in data from the tactical display, showing that 2 enemy battleships and 6 cruisers had his ship pinpointed with their guns. He ignored them. If the Maxalks had flown all the way to the rendezvous site just to shoot at a single cruiser of an outdated design, he would be severely disappointed. The enemy could shoot if they wished. There wasn't anything he could do about it. His focus was not on the 8 ships harassing him with active targeting sensors. What he cared about were the 19 ships that were silent. It was a beautiful sight. 18 frontline extinction-class battlecruisers of the same basic configuration as the fearsome ghost ship Valkyrie. Minus, of course, an elder AI and all the advanced technology modifications that had made Valkyrie quite likely the single most powerful warship in the galaxy. The 19th ship was not a combat vessel, but was perhaps more important than any battlecruiser. It was a stores ship that was full of spare parts and the sort of items warships consumed whether they were in combat or not. Soon, the exciting part of the operation would commence. But first, he had to endure the tedium of listening to thinly veiled insults from the representatives of the hegemony. And then he had to stand by while teams of technicians borrowed from the home fleet inspected the enemy ships being offered. As the image of a Maxalt's fleet captain appeared in the display and she snarled at him, he deeply regretted not cracking open the bottle of Bergoge. The most dangerous part of the mission was approaching fast. The technicians were coming to see the end of their exhaustive inspections of the 18 battlecruisers and the stores ship. The process required carefully scanning every nook and cranny of the 19 ships, checking their overall condition, and more importantly, looking for booby traps and hidden control mechanisms. If the Maxulks intended to screw him, there wasn't much Scarandum could do about it, other than to be disappointed at the wasteful clumsiness of the enemy. In a cavernous and completely empty cargo bay aboard a randomly chosen battlecruiser, he listened while his aide, Lieutenant Kinsta, droned through a report summary. The report had been compiled from the inspection teams and had without any doubt been scandalously dumbed down for his benefit. As Kinsta read the summary, the leaders of the inspection teams were muttering to themselves, their antennas twitching with alarm as serious, serious, and dangerous issues they had uncovered were glossed over. Scarandum shot a glare at the team leaders who had been instructed to keep their mouths shut during the briefing. Seated next to Scarandum was a Maxulk's fleet captain, accompanied by two heavily armed and armored guards. The haughty aliens were no doubt listening for any hint that the Jarraptha had found multiple signs of betrayal. Booby traps, power conduits that had been partially cut through, railgun magnets installed backwards so the polarity was reversed. Most seriously, any sign that the original ship AI had not been completely removed, despite the obvious signs that nearly every bulkhead panel and overhead covering had been cut into for removal of the native AI substrate. Each ship now supposedly ran on a reduced function AI located in a large box on the floor of a cargo bay. Rewiring the ships with proper AIs would be a problem for the Jarraptha. That was the agreement. As Kinsta tried to look bored while he narrated a summary of the report, he used certain words and phrases previously arranged with his senior officer. For example, no anomalies noted meant there had indeed been significant issues uncovered, and no significant findings meant the enemy was attempting to screw them in an insultingly obvious fashion. The Maxulks either had underestimated the capability of Jarraptha sensors, or they simply did not care what issues the lower-tier species discovered aboard the 18 battlecruisers and one stores ship. Both sides knew the Jarraptha were committed to the deal whether they liked everything they found or not. As long as the battlecruisers were judged to be basically flight-worthy and not imminently about to explode or kill their new owners, the Jarraptha would take what they could get. Merely by agreeing to the operation in principle, the would-be allies of humanity had burned any chance they had of a mutual defense agreement with the upstart species. Kinsta was getting to the conclusion, which everyone knew would be that the ships being offered were good enough, when one of the inspection team leaders became agitated. Standing up, her antennas jerked side to side. "Captain Scarandum, I must protest," she said, though she had been strictly instructed not to make any sort of protest, or indeed not to say anything at all. "The summary's conclusions do not mention the serious and—"
"Commander Varent," Scarandum interrupted smoothly, "you addressed all of your concerns in the report you submitted?"
"Yes, but I do not see them included—"
"Then you cannot be blamed if anything were to go amiss. I commend the job your team has done here, under very trying circumstances. The—"
"Sir!"
Varent was not mollified by useless praise.
"There was no mention of critical issues we found, such as the spatial anomalies in—"
"We are aware of these potential anomalies," Scarandum's gentle tone hardened as he glared at the protesting commander. "Thank you, Commander."
"But Commander Varent,"
Scarandum scowled. "Perhaps, being from the home fleet, you are not familiar with how we do things in the Ethics and Compliance Office. That is all."
Varent sat down, hanging her head and muttering to herself. The Maxulk's fleet captain beside him shifted in her seat.
"Do you need a moment to address your internal discipline matters, Captain Scarandum?" she asked with an amused smirk.
"No," he assured her.
"Your teams have had 3 days to inspect our ships."
Fleet Captain Zortenti was no longer sounding amused.
"Can you provide an answer? Is there going to be a deal? Or not?"
Scarandum gestured toward Kinsta and waved for his aide to continue.
"That is why we are reviewing the—"
The phone in his pocket vibrated, and he pulled it out, shrugging with mild embarrassment and tilting the screen away from the Maxulks. He read the one-word message, deleted it, and tucked the phone back in a pocket.
Yes, he said to the haughty alien. The deal is on.
Then let us proceed without further.
There was a humming sound. It was familiar. It was the sound of virtual jump drive coils spinning up.
What? Zortenti snarled. What is happening? Hap!
She spasmed, her eyes rolling back, lids jerking uncontrollably. Beside her, the two armor-suited guards stiffened and slowly toppled over backwards.
My people have a deal, Scarandum said with a smile. Just not the one you agreed to.
18 Extinction-class battlecruisers, one store ship, and the repeat offender all jumped away in flashes of gamma rays. Moments later, the 8 other Maxulk's warships exploded. When the bubble of gamma rays reached 40 light seconds from their source, a ship at that location dropped its stealth field. A ghost ship. It too jumped away.
Captain Scarandum is calling you, Joe, Skippy announced, only a few seconds after we jumped in.
The display was showing 20 other ships around us. According to the symbols, the count of 20 included 18 Maxulk's battlecruisers of Valkyrie's base design, a supply ship, and a Jarapha heavy cruiser.
So far, so good. Everything was going to plan, although there was still plenty that could go wrong, like pretty much anything.
We had arrived at the rendezvous site 3 days before the Maxulks, and Skippy saturated the area with micro-wormholes. 3 days sounds like we were cutting it close, but Scarandum didn't reveal the rendezvous site to the Rotten Kitties until 2 days before he planned to meet them. Were the Maxulks suspicious about the compressed timing? Probably. They were not happy about it and complained to Scarandum. He told them they had two options, the first being to go fuck themselves. Unwisely, they chose option two. Really, they understood that the Jarapha were nervous about the senior species getting to the rendezvous site early and preparing for all kinds of malicious nonsense. The Maxulks were not used to trusting anyone because everyone knew they could not be trusted. Maybe they suspected the Jarapha had planned a trap, but in their arrogance, they assumed the comparatively crude technology of the Beatles couldn't harm them. And they couldn't imagine the Rindaloo going through the trouble of setting a trap. They were probably right about that. Anyway, the Maxulks arrived where we were waiting, and they intensely scanned the area out to a distance of about 15 light seconds. With us 40 light seconds away, and Valkyrie tightly wrapped in a stealth field, they didn't detect us. I kind of felt like the Kitties were just going through the motions of conducting a recon. They simply seemed unconcerned about anything the Jarapha had planned. That was a big mistake. Like, huge. When we first met, and Scarandum shocked the hell out of me by explaining his plan to double-cross the Kitties rather than double-crossing us, I didn't answer right away, because my brain blew a fuse. Was I stunned that the ECO was betting on a long-term relationship with us instead of a one-time thing with the Maxulks? No. Was I amazed by the daring plan cooked up by Scarandum? Not really. Besides, his plan was more like when I asked Skippy whether he can do some crazy thing and then he has to, you know, handle all the pesky details and then do the crazy thing. Scarandum was taking a risk that we had the ability to hack into and take control of more than 20 senior species warships. No, he was just hoping we could do that. I guess he figured that if we couldn't conjure up a miracle, he would tell the Kitties the deal was off and hope they never learned he intended to double-cross them. The reason my brain blew a fuse was from being stunned that the Maxulks, even after we showed we could shut down the freaking wormhole network their empire depended on, still had the stones to try capturing Skippy again. Damn, that frightened me. Had I completely misjudged the Kitties? The basis of my whole plan was that either of the senior species would choose to cooperate with us rather than risk the prospect of isolation and loss of their empires. Maybe the myth of the Maxulks as the rightful rulers of the galaxy was such a powerful part of their identity, their society couldn't survive without it. If that was true, we were in trouble. Big trouble. Because it meant the mutual assured destruction policy was not an effective deterrent. The thought that the Kitties were impossibly, even suicidally deluded and stubborn was a major factor in my decision to agree with Scarandum's plan. That, plus Skippy boasting that he in fact would have no problem taking control of the ships.
Let's just say I was skeptical he could actually do that, remembering the trouble he had with Valkyrie's native AI. That was a fun conversation. While I don't remember the exact words, it went something like, I had said, back while Scarandum was waiting for an answer. Skippy, listen. I know you're awesome and all that, but no, you actually do not know how awesome I am, because your tiny monkey brain can't comprehend the truly vast scope of my awesomeness. Forgive me, your lordship, I sighed. It was just easier to suck up to his enormous ego. Since my tiny brain can't understand your awesomeness, please explain how you can take over more than 20 Maxul ships. Easy. It's because, as I remember, you had a hell of a time taking over just one ship when we captured Valkyrie. Well, yes, but I also remember that native AI caused a lot of trouble for us because you were not as awesome as you think you are.
Oh, how dare you! I should...
Please, go ahead. I am waiting to hear your fabulous plan. And I am trying to tell you if you will shut your pie hole for a freaking second. Hit me. Okay. He took a deep breath. It's simple. There are two reasons why this will be no problemo for me. First, unlike when I took over Valkyrie, this time we have a huge advantage. Captain Scarandum required the kitties to rip the master control AIs out of the ships they're transferring. Right, I snorted. Like they can be trusted to do that. No, they certainly cannot be trusted to do that. Not completely. But they will do most of the hard work for me. The kitties will remove all the obvious substrate to make it look good when Jirapta inspection teams scan the ships. My guess is the kitties will leave enough substrate hidden to retain control of the ships. Those fragments of substrate will be isolated and networked together by some secondary channel, maybe sending signals through power conduits, something like that. The point is, the rotten kitties leaving bits and pieces of substrate hidden in the walls is actually a bonus for us. I can take over the signals pathways one by one and hack into those isolated pieces without the rest of the dumbed-down AI knowing anything is wrong. That sounds great, but how can you be sure to get all of the stuff they've hidden? The kitties are going to be very careful. They know the Jirapta aren't stupid. Ah, working remotely, I can't be sure to get everything. Ah! He shushed me. That doesn't matter. All I have to do is clear enough space to install a submind aboard each ship. The submind can control the jump drive, and the kitties won't know anything is wrong until it's too late. Okay, yeah, but what happens after the ships jump? Your connection through the micro wormholes will be severed. True. Well, the submines only need to hang on until we can jump to their location and I can reestablish my presence. All the ships will need to jump into a small area with Valkyrie at the center. You can do that? A short-range jump with Maxulk's jump drives after I have several days to refine the drives? Easy peasy, Joe. This all sounds too good to be true. Okay, about the other ships. The Maxulks must be bringing warships that they are not intending to transfer. Those ships will certainly have fully capable AIs. Yes, he said slowly, exasperated by my questions. With those ships, all I need to do is hack into their jump drive capacitors' safety mechanisms. I remove the safeties and, boom! Those ships will not be a problem for anyone. What about the kitties aboard the ships we are stealing? They will slaughter the beetles as soon as they realize they have been double-crossed. No, they won't, because I will hack into their implants and scramble their brains. Scramble their brains? Or I could just stun them. Let's go with that. Are you sure you can do that? Yes. I have studied Maxulk's physiology and the cybernetics they use. I have learned a lot since we captured Mr. Snuggles. Remember, I had no problem controlling Bite Me Elmo. Oh, yeah. Skippy, I believe that you believe you can do this, but Joe, trust the awesomeness. I got this. Listen, give me 3 seconds and I can create a map of the substrate of an alien AI. Give me 3 minutes and I can infiltrate my presence into that substrate. Give me 3 days, I can perform a freaking miracle. The Beatles need to inspect those ships before they proceed with the deal, and even without them dragging their feet, it will take several days to be thorough about it.
The good news is if the Beatles were not being thorough, the Maxalts will be suspicious, so the enemy will expect the Giraptor to poke their sensors into every nook and cranny of those ships. Really, the whole inspection will be for show, although only Captain Scarandum will know that. When my submines report everything is ready, I will ping his phone, and it's showtime, baby! That conversation was replaying in my head while Valkyrie drifted in the center of the formation and our sensors recovered from the spatial distortion of the jump. Like I said, we were surrounded by the correct number and types of ships, so that part of the plan had worked properly. It could all blow up in our faces. 18 of the ships close to us were Maxalt's battle cruisers, and the Giraptor inspection confirmed most of their weapons were operational. The only thing stopping the native AIs of those ships from firing on us were the submines Skippy uploaded. After those ships jumped, he lost connection with the submines, and the native AIs had 40 seconds to assert control before we jumped in. If even one of the native AIs took back control of its ship, the operation could become a disaster. Yeah, I'll talk with Scarandum in a moment. I anxiously scanned the holographic display for information, then gave up. Sitrep, Skippy, do you have control of those ships? Jeez Louise, why are you monkeys so impatient? I am in the process of reestablishing a link with the submines there. Sounds like a fancy way of saying no. Ugh, okay, yes. Technically, can you stop the native AIs from making those ships go boom? Not yet. That's what I thought. Mame, I said to the weapons officer behind my chair. We have weapons lock on every one of those ships? Check, he confirmed. Joe, Skippy tried to get my attention. Outstanding. Weps, if you see something squirrely out there, don't wait for me. Take care of the problem. Take care of the problem. Check, Mame acknowledged. Joe, Skippy shouted. What? 3, 2, 1, done. I have reestablished control. Knowing I was talking with an absent-minded beer can, I cocked my head at his avatar. You are sure of that? Yes. How sure? I can with full confidence give you a solid schmaybe. Not a gold-plated schmaybe? Well, I have been fooled by a Maxalt's Starship AI before, so, yeah. Mame, stay on your toes. Skippy, how long until you are as certain as you can possibly be? 7 minutes and 43 seconds. His precision confused me. That's an awfully specific number. How do you... It is specific because unlike you meat sacks, I know what I'm doing. That is how long it will take for the submines I loaded into the substrate of those ships to stabilize and wipe out any trace of the Maxalt's AI. It's a process, dum-dum. I'm not just making this up as I go. Right. Sorry. Ping Captain Scarandum and request him to stand by until you give us the all clear. When Skippy gave the all clear, I was in a dropship with its engines warmed up and the docking bay door already open. The flight over to the battlecruiser occupied by Scarandum was short. The only unusual part of the flight was our pilots had to fly into the docking bay without a guidance beam. The submind aboard that ship was still busy keeping the native AI suppressed and didn't have the bandwidth to guide us in. I could have asked Skippy to do it, except he had 18 other ships to worry about, and I didn't want to distract him. Plus, a manual docking was good practice for our pilots. Scarandum met us in the passageway beyond the docking bay airlock. Captain, I gave him a human-style salute. Congratulations. He dipped his antennas toward each other, touching in the center of his head. General Bishop, are congratulations appropriate already? I nodded, exaggerating the gesture so he would understand. Skippy says he is wiping up the last remnants of the native AIs. They do not pose a threat. That's a fact, Jack. Skippy's AI appeared, floating in the air. Scarandum blinked and took a half step back from the hologram. It always surprised me that some people are a bit frightened by Skippy. I have to remember that to anyone who doesn't know Skippy as an absent-minded shithead, he is a godlike elder AI. Unpredictable, and capable of great destruction. General Bishop, the ECO captain looked at me rather than at the Avatar. Your AI is... He is not my AI, I corrected the Giraptor officer. And you should talk to him directly. My apologies. He bowed his upper body toward the Avatar. Mr. Skippy, you accomplished a miracle.
Oh, it was nothing. Skippy shrugged, and his avatar actually blushed. That was a new affectation for him. He must have been tweaking his emulation subroutines.
Oh, Scarandum's antennas dipped. I did not realize it was so simple. Perhaps Maxalt's technology is not quite as advanced as we thought.
Skippy sputtered. I meant it was nothing for me. Impossible for anyone else, of course.
Of course. General Bishop, welcome aboard your new ship.
Are you sure about this?
The plan was for the Jirapta to turn over all 19 ships to us. When Scarandum explained that part of the plan, it had surprised the hell out of me.
Yes, he shrugged with his antennas. They are more useful to you than to us. We couldn't effectively operate them for long. Even with spare parts, the maintenance requirements are beyond the ability of our shipyards. Plus, his eyes flicked to Skippy, then back to me. Forgive me that I do not entirely trust that the native AIs are completely purged. AIs of our design would be vulnerable to attack. Your AIs presumably will be better protected.
You're probably right about that, I agreed. What he didn't say were the real reasons he was giving 18 frontline battle cruisers to us. The Jirapta not only couldn't operate those ships effectively, they also probably couldn't keep them for long. The instant the kiddies learned they had been conned, their fleet would be gunning to take back the stolen battlecruisers or destroy them. That was a very sensible reason for turning over the ships to us, and the Beatles had an even more important reason that fit into their long-term strategy. While they couldn't effectively use those ships to defend their territory and interests, we could. The Jirapta were betting we could and would protect them. Boosting the strength of the fledgling United Nations Navy was in their interests, and it was the opening move in them forming an alliance with humanity. Along with his plan to double-cross the Maxalts, Scarandum had brought along a draft proposal for a mutual defense treaty. By screwing over the kiddies before we signed a treaty with them, the Jirapta were taking a big risk. I wonder how many of the Beatles had wagered on it. Fleet Captain Zortenti of the Maxalt's hegemony returned to consciousness abruptly, like flicking a switch. One moment she had been only dimly aware of the external world, only vaguely aware of her own existence, and the next moment she remembered who she was. Remembered everything. Remembered, but she did not understand. Where was she? As her eyes struggled to focus, she saw a figure standing, looking at her, waiting patiently. It was a Jirapta.
You will release me at once, inferior,
the Maxalt's fleet commander snarled, rising from the gel bed in the detention cell.
Or I will—
Oh, shut up,
Scarandum said with a yawn from the other side of the energy field barrier to the cell.
If you are just going to bore me with useless threats, I have better things to do. You have been asleep, so I'll give you an update. All 18 battlecruisers plus the store ship are under the control of the humans who call themselves the Merry Band of Pirates. Your other ships are a cloud of debris that has probably gone cold by now. You and the other survivors of your people are detained aboard this ship. In case you don't recognize it, this is Valkyrie.
Valkyrie?
She looked side to side with alarm. Yes, you are all here, so the Skippy AI can make sure none of you cause any trouble.
Fool! I will kill you!
You will do nothing, he laughed.
You should be concerned about your own safety. In a few hours, I am going back aboard my ship and jumping back toward home. The humans will drop you and your fellows. He used an antenna to indicate the other cells in the compartment, all occupied by multiple sleeping members of the enemy senior species. On an isolated world in your coalition, and leave a message for your people so they can come get you. But since you are responsible for losing 18 frontline capital ships, maybe you are not eager for a reunion with your fleet. Not only did you thoroughly get played, his antennas twitched with delight, you also significantly boosted the strength of the human military and increased the odds of them agreeing to a mutual defense pact with my people.
She did not have an immediate reply to that, likely contemplating that he was correct about her getting the blame for the stunning fiasco. When she spoke, it was with less snarling, but even more hatred.
Did you even consider that an alliance with us would be of more benefit to you?
No, he laughed. Your people are famous for backstabbing your own clients, yet you are surprised when no one trusts you. We knew you would turn on us as soon as you captured the Skippy AI.
You have doomed all of us to eventually becoming slaves of the humans.
She shook her head, but held her eyes in a murderous glare fixed on him.
Why would you do such a thing? Surely you can see what a danger the humans are to the entire galaxy.
Maybe. Yes, we do understand your argument for stability in the galaxy. It is true that, cruel though the war has been, you and the Rindaloo have established and maintained a balance that benefits everyone, at least to some extent.
Then, her face displayed genuine confusion. Why?
The humans might destabilize the galaxy. Over the next few years, anything could happen.
I do not understand why you would want such a thing.
It's easy, he shrugged. You forget who you are dealing with. Stability is comfortable. It can also be boring. For us, not knowing what the humans will do next offers juicy action.